This morning, as we continue in the book of James, look in the section of scripture titled Tutored by Truth. By the way, it's important for us to worship together. And sometimes the different traditions, different kinds of churches and makeup, you know, I'm not used to expressing my emotion as much in church. And it was kind of cool to see you guys actually clap on beat, pretty much, I think it was. So, and I think there's real value in that. You know, I'd mentioned last week I've traumatized our dog when I watch games and get excited and yell. And so now the dog starts yelling when she sees sports on TV. So it's like, you know, if I can be that way during something that really doesn't matter for eternity, maybe I need to think a little bit about worship. Anyway, we are in the book of James, chapter 1, and the text this morning is verses 19 through 21. And in honor of our awesome God, I want to ask you to stand as I read the text aloud. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's pray. Oh God, we are here because you came, Lord. You expressed your love as only you could. And we want to express our gratitude to you today. And so we gather because you came, Lord. And I pray that your spirit will continue to be strong here, Lord. Because you are the true audience. You are the one deserving the attention of this place. And so, Father, may we continue to realize that. Give our hearts full attention to you. That's the desire, Lord. And may that occur. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have a glut of information today, don't we? I mean, information everywhere. I read that there are over 3,000 new books a day that are published. There are now more texts that are sent out every day than there are people in the world. There is more information than we'll ever be able to attain that's at our fingertips through the course of the internet. There is certainly information everywhere. But there's a big difference between information and transformation. And so the Bible is different than any other book because the ultimate aim of the Bible is not simply information, it is transformation. God wants to transform us. He wants us to be like Jesus Christ. And that is His purpose, and that is His goal, and He does that through His Holy Spirit as this book becomes a part of us as God works. Romans 12, verse 1 tells us to become living sacrifices for God. Verse 2 tells us, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. He wants to transform us through thinking and through the ultimate power of the Word. As a matter of fact, Romans 15, verse 4 reads, it says, for everything that was written in the past, that's the stuff that we have that's been saved for us in this book. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and encouragement of the Word, we might have hope. Man, you can live for a while without food. You can live less longer without water, but none of us can live without hope. And the Scriptures proclaim to us that they provide hope. That is the ultimate hope of Christ. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16, what a great verse. You know, it says that all Scripture is God-inspired or God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that we can all be equipped fully to do God's work. Teaching, what we should know. Rebuking, what we shouldn't do. Correcting, what we should do. And training in righteousness, living it out. That is the power of God's Word at work within us. And I want to look at, through this section of Scripture, five truths that God gives us through this section of Scripture that are so vitally important. Notice he starts out here in verse 19. He says, "My dear brothers, take note of this." Pay attention. There's something here you need to know. There are vital truths that I'm about to pass on to you. And so he begins here, and he basically says, hey, come with your ears open. He says, be quick to listen. We looked at last week in verse 18, he told us that he had provided to us new birth through the word of truth, that he made us new people. He tells us that through the Word. And then, of course, in verse 21, in our text today, he says, the Word that's humbly planted in you, that Word meant to change you. And then, of course, as you go on in the Scripture, a verse that's popular, anybody that's been in church for any length of time, do not merely listen to the Word of God. Do what it says. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. The idea of being quick to listen means be eager. Man, don't just hear it. Hear it. Let God's Word penetrate you. Let God's Spirit bring His Word alive in your heart. It makes all the difference. You see, James, as he was talking to God's people, he didn't say, man, it's not that you guys are hard of hearing. What? What was that? That wasn't the problem. The issue was they weren't really listening. They weren't tuned in to God, what God wanted to say to them. I mean, you know, it reminded me last night of trying to, and I ended up not doing it, signing Cindy and Lydia, and well, not probably let Lydia pay for her own, but signed Cindy and I up for this turkey trot. We did that thing last year, if you ever heard of that. Johnson City, man, they had, was it 7,000? Something like 7,000 people showed up. I didn't expect that. Some people walked with their dogs. Some people ran. And some people, like Cindy and I, attempted to run. And to get, you know, through, it's a this 5K, and man, all those people. But anyway, you know, I started to sign up for the thing. And the reason I didn't finish signing up, I wasn't sure what size shirts we wear. You know, we'll make sure I got that right, look at last year's size, because of these shirts. Anyway, I came to the end of that thing just before the credit card, and I went, eh. And they had this long thing I had to read. You know, you have to check this box that you read this before we will allow you to go on in this process. You know, that happens. You get ready to download a program or an update. And like I'm really carefully going to read all that stuff. So I'll just confess it right now. I just got pretty much to the end of that thing, checked the box, and clicked yes. I know I lied about it. I needed to get on with it. And James is saying here, through the moving of the Spirit of God, he's saying, don't do that with God's Word. Don't do that with God's truth. Don't just let the words bounce off of you. Let them penetrate you, that He may transform you. Secondly, he says not only to listen, keep your mouth closed. Keep it shut. Basically, he says, be slow to speak. In other words, don't start talking when you're not really listening. Listen before you start talking, that you may really hear what is being said. In the early church, you know, sometimes when we think about the early church, we think, well, they had the Word of God. You know, they had all this. No. These were letters that were being circulated around in the early church before we had the whole book put together and what we call the canon, which we now so enjoy. But in the early church, they would take these letters, and there would be a reading from the letter, and then there would be some preaching of how to apply that to life. And often in that, there would be feedback, and there would be debate, and there would be people talking back and forth during the sermon. And man, sometimes that could be tough, as in Ephesians 4:15, Paul talks about this guy, Alexander the blacksmith, that caused him a lot of trouble and a lot of heartache. Why? Because more than likely he was standing up right in the middle of Paul's words and confronting. He wasn't really listening to Paul. He was already attacking his words. You know, it's a picture of the little kid, and he's supposed to get buckled up and sit down in the car, and he stands up in the car, and his mom's telling him, you need to sit down. You need to get down so I can buckle you up. And finally he says, okay, I'll sit down on the outside, but I'm going to be standing up on the inside. And this is the picture here of being slow to speak. I'm standing up on the inside. I'm not really listening, God, to what you want to tell me. Remember Job? What a guy. A guy that was well known, a guy that was supremely blessed of God. But then the trouble entered his life. We know in the background that it was a test, and the devil himself was testing Job. God was allowing these deep things to occur, and he went through everything imaginable, it seemed. And you come near the end of the book of Job, chapter 40, verse 4, and he says, I lay my hand upon my mouth. What can I say to you, God? It's time for me to listen to you, God, even though I don't like what I am experiencing. Third, keep your spirit teachable. He says, be slow to become angry. So, here's the issue. God's speaking, but you've got your own agenda. You don't want to hear what He's saying. And so while he's speaking, you're not really listening, but you catch just enough of what he's saying to know you don't like it, and it makes you mad. And you're mad because you don't really understand the depth of what he's trying to tell you. And so you're not quick to listen. You're quick to speak, and you become angry because you don't want to hear what God is telling you. And what he's saying here is, your anger is not helpful. Your anger is not going to produce spiritual growth in your life. It's not going to bring you closer to God. Your anger is not going to be positive. So don't do it. Have you ever seen a little kid have a temper tantrum? You know, 145 or 68 or 76 or... I can remember one of my kids, I believe it was Lydia, years ago, we were in Sears back when we had the mall. Man, whew, years passed. Right in the middle of Sears, man, that kid had the biggest temper tantrum I can remember through my kids. Cindy could tell you the details. I can't remember exactly what happened, why she had to step. Well, I'll just ask Cindy. She's right here. What happened that Lydia got so mad? You probably remember. She wanted to push the stroller, and we were tired of it. We wanted her to get back in. So she ended up in the middle of the floor. Ah! And this went on, and of course, you know, it probably only lasted a couple, you know, 2 minutes, but it felt like 78 minutes if you've been there, you know what I mean? That temper tantrum did not make us feel closer to our daughter. You know, it didn't bring that warmth and that connection. And so it is with God. James is telling us, when we have that rebellious attitude against God and we're fighting against God, it's not helping us. It's not bringing us into closer connection with the living God. I think it's kind of interesting here too. Look how he refers in verse 19. He says, "My dear brothers." It's kind of like, I have a feeling you're not going to like what I'm about to say to you. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't hurt the one who's bringing God's message. I'm not God. I'm just relaying the message. It's almost like I believe he's anticipating that in this case. Then clean hands. Notice verse 21 of our text. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. It's a word picture here that could be translated dirty clothing or moral defilement. Just nastiness. Yeah. And he's saying, get that out of your life. The word was often used to refer to wax in your ears. Man, get that wax out of your ears, that nasty stuff that's hanging out in your ears, so you can hear. You're not able to hear because of that filthiness. You know, it's a command that says, repent. Hey, man, go God's direction. When you're going the other direction, things are not going to be resolved. Things are not going to be solved. Go His direction. It's not a picture here that when you do this, that suddenly you're going to be perfect and complete in Christ and never be rebellious again. Right? That's not the picture. The picture that is being relayed here is that He will take you victoriously through daily life. When you fall, He will pick you back up. When you're broken, He will reset you to heal. He will be there and He will be faithful. But it is His life in us. It is not us. I love the story of the evangelist. I believe it was in India. And he was trying to explain conviction. And this guy, he was a skeptic, and he was listening, but he did not understand this idea of being burdened by sin. So sarcastically, he said to the evangelist, "Well, how much does sin weigh? How much is this burden? Is it 8 pounds? Is it 87 pounds? How much does sin weigh?" And the evangelist responded by saying, "Well, let me ask you this question. If you laid 100 pounds on a corpse, would it feel the load?" The man said, "No, he's dead." He said, "Exactly. The spirit, too, is dead, which feels no load of sin." If you don't feel conviction, if you're not broken and burdened of your sin, better check and make sure that the life of Christ lives inside of you. Because when Jesus comes in you, He loves you too much to leave you the same. He's always working on us to bring us closer to Christ. We're to have clean hands, to be people clean before Christ. One commentator spoke of a little church, and in their prayer meetings, this young believer, he would pray every time they'd meet for prayer meetings, "Oh Lord, the cobwebs have become between God and you, I mean, between God and me, God, take away these cobwebs. Well, this guy had been a believer for a long time. He got tired of it, you know, every week. God, please remove these cobwebs that are coming between us, Lord. So finally, this seasoned believer, he'd had enough. And this guy, here he goes again, because it's the same sins he's repeating of every week, you know. And says, oh, God, please remove these cobwebs. And suddenly the guy stood up. He couldn't take it anymore. And he said, God, kill the spider. Sorry back there. I didn't know I was going to get that loud. It came up. Kill the spider. God, take it away, Lord. It's too big for me, but it's not for you, God. All right. Last one here. A humble heart. Look at how verse 21 closes. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. He is not talking about here about your eternal destination. He's talking about your daily witness. He's talking about saving you so that you will be a person of integrity, so that you will be a witness for Jesus that is able to make an impact with the people you come in contact with those who are around you. That's what he's talking about, that God will do this type of work in you. There's a story that says in New York City, and there was all the hustle and bustle and noise, and this guy was a naturalist, and he was walking with a friend, and he said, do you hear that cricket? And the guy said, you have got to be kidding me. We are in the middle of New York City. How could you possibly hear a cricket? And he said, well, it is a matter of training yourself to hear certain things. And, you know, I love animals. And so I could pick out the sound of that cricket. And the guy just kind of rolled his eyes. He said, let me show you what I mean. Reached in his pocket, he took out a quarter and he dropped it. Dang, all of a sudden everybody stopped and looked. Why? Because they knew the sound of money clanging. And got their attention. What about God's Word? Does God get our attention? Do you have a heart? Do you have a hunger? Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be renewed? Do you want God to work in your life? Well, here it is. It's through the Word of God that He works. It's the Word planted in you. He says, humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can transform you. Remember young Samuel in the Old Testament? He kept hearing the voice of God. He wasn't sure what was going on. You know, heard this voice. He wasn't really familiar with it. So he went to Eli the priest. And, hey, I keep hearing this voice. I'm not sure what's going on. He said, well, just listen. And as you listen, then say, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. And God spoke to him, and everything changed for Samuel. But he kept running back other places, trying to figure out where the voice was coming from. And it took him a while, and finally he just stopped and he listened as God spoke. And the power of God's words grabbed his heart, and he would be changed, and he would become a part of this book as God would use him in a mighty way. And he's still doing that today. He wants to get our attention, but we have to stop it. We have to be eager to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry and to let God transform us through the incredible power of His Word led by the Spirit of God. And so that's where we are with this particular service. I do not know what specific battles you have with temptation and sin. And, you know, as we opened up the book of James, the first part of it talked about trials, and then we talked last week about temptation, and now we're talking about being transformed. Whatever it is, God has a plan, and God wants to take you to victory. And I can guarantee you, I may not be able to give you details, but I can give you the overhaul. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Word, we might have hope. That's where it comes from, guys. We have an altar that's open. Maybe God is calling you to come to this altar and to just say, God, I want to be transformed. I want to be changed. So I'm coming to you with it, Lord. I may not know the details, but it doesn't matter if I know them. What matters is God knows them. See? And that's what this is about. Or maybe it's to make a decision publicly right where you are and to come before God's church and to declare, hey, God is doing this in me. I'm going to follow Him, and I want to cement that by confessing it to God's people. Maybe it is to join this particular church, or maybe it's to follow through in baptism. Maybe you have never followed through in baptism, and that's a way of identifying with Christ and His people. I don't know. I just want God to speak to us. You know, this is, sometimes we get to this part of the service, and it's like, man, I just wish the preacher would hurry so I can get out of here. I've got a place I want to go. I want to eat. I got family I want to see. I got things to do. What is that called? It's called not being eager to listen. It's called being quick to speak instead of slow to speak. And God says, whoa, slow down and hear my spirit. Let's pray. God, we need you, Lord. We have sought you in worship and through your word. And I just pray that you, oh God, would draw us to you. And I may not know what that looks like, but you do. And so I pray you would be pleased with how we respond to you. Whether it's to stay where we are and make a decision for you, whether it's to come to this altar and pray, whether it's to publicly make a declaration of what you are doing in our lives and that we want to respond to you and not rebel against you. God, I just ask that you would be free to transform us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.